Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to a new episode of Talkback. This time around, fiction editor Melissa Willis hops on the line with author R.J. Larson to talk about her new book, Prophet.
R.J. Larson, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Melissa?
Very good. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your new series, which is called the Book of Infinite series, and the first book in that series, which is called Prophet. Could you tell us a little bit about this series, and then in particular, Prophet?
This series was just one of those unexpected projects for me. I couldn't believe I ended up doing this in fantasy, of all things. I was working on a Victorian novel and woke up one morning, and I had promised my agent this Victorian novel because she specializes in these things, and she's kind of not quite known what to do with me. I'd never had when I signed on with her, we hadn't sold anything yet, and I'd promised her this novel, and I was on chapter 8 and woke up one morning, and I had had the most unsettling dream about a young girl in a dark place, and she had been offered a choice by her creator to become his prophet, knowing that she would die young if she accepted his offer. And yet his voice is so enticing, so captivating to her soul, and she just thirsts to hear his voice, and she can't bear the thought of growing old and not hearing his voice or sharing his visions ever again. So she accepts, and the adventure begins from there. So, but she sets out on this as his prophet, knowing that she will die young. She just doesn't know the circumstances.
Wow, that gives me goosebumps.
I know, it really shook me up, and I tried to ignore it because honestly, I was really enjoying my Victorian novel, and I sat down to work after this, and I kept thinking, I can't do this. I don't even know the genre. I can't. I need to proceed with what I promised to my agent. And so after a whole day of trying to work on the 1890s novel, I knew I was in trouble. I had to email her and say, look, I have a problem. This is not leaving me alone, and I need to write it down before it drives me crazy. And she gave me permission, and she said, go ahead, write up what you need. And I did, and I just couldn't believe how quickly the whole thing flowed. I had, and this is unprecedented, I had 3 chapters. I haven't been able to equal that since. 3 chapters within 1 week.
Wow.
I know. And a synopsis. And so I sent it off to her, and she said, okay, this is not what I usually do, but we'll go with this. And so she started sending it around. To say that Dave Long at Bethany House responded to it and was interested, I was just floored. I'd never expected such a response from one of the big publishers.
Wow. Well, while I was reading this book, I kept thinking, this is going to appeal to a very large audience. And it's funny because Bethany House picked it up, and one of the audiences that I kept thinking about was the young adult market. And most of Bethany House is, most of their fiction is toward the adult market. But this one very much, I thought, wow, is this going to be young adult or is it adult? Where are we marketing? In fact, I even asked myself to find out because I thought it could go both ways. When you started writing this book, who was your target audience? And now that you finished, who do you think it's most directed toward?
You know, I initially thought it would be young adult, given that the protagonist is so young. But as it progressed, I just thought this is some of the themes were much deeper. I don't want to use the word dark, but there is darkness in there. I tried to balance it with humor, plenty of humor. But I just feel that the themes are timeless, the way they've developed. And I do believe it will go I would say adults of all ages, young adults of all ages. You know, I don't think you have to be an adult of a certain age to read this book.
I think, and you can tell me if you would agree with this, but I think it would also span across genres in terms of those like biblical fiction, historical fiction, those genres, even into the speculative and supernatural genres as well, because of the way that it's written and, you know, the feel of it, the overall feel of it. What do you think?
I would be delighted if it would the audience would open up to other genres besides the fantasy and young adult. And I do think it will stretch across, because so much of our biblical beliefs are based in the Old Testament, and this novel Prophet is based in the Old Testament, particularly with the prophets of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I did do a lot of digging into the stories behind the verses that we are all familiar with the stories that we've loved from the Bible, from the Old Testament. I do think it will. So for me, as a lover of biblical history and regular history, it appealed to me very strongly. That was one of the reasons I was just so drawn to this story and had to set aside the Victorian. I couldn't help myself. I had to dig into the history and find out what it's about. So I hope readers would do the same.
Well, there's numerous scenes in there and events that are very reminiscent of Old Testament history. What are some particular stories that readers will maybe be reminded of while they're reading Prophet?
Prophet, much of what it, I was inspired by, first of all, I began with a question, you know, what is the basic rule of being a prophet? Because that's what Ella asks herself when she's setting out on her journey. What does it mean to be a prophet? What am I doing here? You know, how do I know if I'm succeeding or anything? You know, so all these questions. And I had to know those, of course, being the author. And I went into commentaries, everything I could find, particularly with Jeremiah, because I knew that Jeremiah and Ezekiel would be her focus, the inspiration for her focus in this series, the Book of the Infinite series. I think that for book one, it's simply her when Jeremiah is speaking to God, and it's his relationship and his dialogue with God. Much of that is going to be played out in Prophet, of her just settling into a role and realizing, wow, is this part of what I'm supposed to do? And having this dialogue with God throughout the entire thing. Jeremiah is one of the few prophets who actually had dialogue with God and complained to God and said, "Listen, this is not what I expected. This is a problem for me." And I laughed at that, but I was just like, "Wow, this must have really been horrifying." You know, so I tried to set that up in the book. You know, have that sense of intimacy with God, which is also what you want the readers to. I loved that about Jeremiah. Ezekiel is more intense, and that doesn't play out until later in the series, fortunately. But I just hope readers will enjoy the sense that of this relationship with God that Ella begins as she starts on her journey.
Well, I love the interaction between Ella and the Infinite. I found, you know, I thought the dialogue was at times humorous, you know, especially when Ella is learning what not to ask for. it was also very realistic. I mean, I didn't have to stretch my imagination to believe that this conversation could happen. What was it like to write words for a character who is a the Infinite is analogous to the God we worship? What's it like to essentially write dialogue for God?
I still question myself, even now that the edits are coming for book three in the series, King. I'm looking at everything that I wrote. Is this biblical? Is it based on a foundation from Scripture, from what we know and love of God? Is it true to Him? And it's intimidating. It is intimidating, and I'm still nervous that readers will say, "Look, you just did all this thing. You put words into his mouth. They're not there." But with everything that I did write, I did try to pull it from the scriptures, rephrase it to fit the story in our modern times, but with that, with the same ideals, the basic ideals behind the words. And I hope readers will see that I have been, I have tried to be faithful, absolutely faithful to the scriptures, because that is my whole goal, is just to present the scriptures in a realistic way and in a way that's friendly to readers.
Mm-hmm. And it did come across very much as sounding, I mean, what I always look for whenever I'm doing fantasy in a lot of ways, especially whenever it's got a little bit of a speculative feel to it, mm-hmm. is how far am I having to stretch my imagination? And I'm fine to, because a lot of times I like to be challenged. I like mm-hmm. to be challenged by a book to get me to think outside my zone. But there's a certain part that wherever it comes to God and his direct speaking, it has to have a ring of authenticity to me. It has to be something that I could say, yeah, I could see God saying that, and that makes sense to me. Or otherwise, I'm going to walk away almost offended by what
you
said.
Oh, I hope I didn't offend you.
Not at all. Not at all. But whenever I think about that, I think, what a fine line that an author has to walk to still make it creative and original, but also not to step off too far.
Yeah.
and make it to where somebody says, well, God would never say that.
Yeah, and that was always a concern with me. I want him to be our creator. I want readers, of course, you know, he is our creator. I want readers to feel that balance there. He's our Lord. He's our God, our Creator, our loving Father. So there's his love for us, and yet his need to reach to us and say, "Listen, I want you to thrive. I want you to live. I want you to rejoice with me." Come to me. You know, this is what you need to do to have these things. Relationship is so important to our Creator, and that's another thing I wanted to get across. But again, you don't want to put words into his mouth,
right?
So, yeah. Like I say, and we're talking about this now, and even now I'm thinking, oh, did I do that right? Did I portray him as he deserves?
Well, I thought it turned out really good. I was impressed and pleased with it. Now, the people of Parn, and I hope I pronounced that right, have a saying, a silver-haired prophet has failed.
Yeah.
Talk about the life that Ella chose to accept, and she did choose to accept this. That was another part that I thought was very interesting. It was not forced upon her. She was given a choice, and she chose it.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I liked how it was presented, because it applies to more than just her accepting a prophet, you know, to become a prophet. You know, we all have choices, and so I like that. But let's talk specifically about the life that she chose.
She knows. I think in the book I wrote that she had two choices when she was trying to make her decision. She had two choices. Live to be old and full of dry regrets, or accept this offer and follow him, listening to his voice. I believe I compared his voice to water, and to her thirsting for that water to hear him. And she just simply couldn't imagine not being able to hear him, not being able to receive his vision, and just knowing that if she passed this up, if she turned into a coward and said, no, I'm not going to do this, then she would regret it all her life. And I wanted it to be so strong a draw for her. You know, and for any believer, we would like to think that we're all courageous and would make this decision to follow him, being so thirsty for his voice that we're willing to accept any sacrifices, including our own lives, for his sake, the risk that would be involved would be worth it to hear his voice.
And you know, she does endure a lot, and for what she endures, she still has a lot of sympathy for those that she's trying to warn. Let's talk about this part of the book, how she reacts and how she struggles, and you know, what kind of struggle she has with those that she's ministering to, especially when a lot of those, they just hate her. A lot of the people hate her and hate her message. Talk a little bit about that part of the book.
That was a struggle for me, too, because she's, you know, she's so in love with the Lord, her Creator, and just is trying to reach others and saying, look, I see your future and this is not good. Please listen to me. And to have them reject her and have her hit with that feeling of failure. And part of her own initial struggles as she's learning to be a prophet have played into this empathy, this great sympathy she has for the people she's trying to reach, because their Creator loves them, the Infinite loves His children, as he calls them, and is eager to reach them, wanting this relationship with them, and she can feel this. She's so in tune with the Infinite, and his feelings for his creation that she's desperate to reach others, and just loves them, and so it's very devastating to come across such antagonistic reactions from those she's trying to warn, and that was a struggle, and it was sad, and to know that she was going to react this way. I think it was something that I didn't expect initially when I started writing the book, but I love that about Ella, the fact that she has such sympathy for those who hate her.
Do you think because one of the, and this is a total personal quirk on my part, and I totally recognize this as a quirk. There was a point to where I felt like she was disagreeing with God to a certain point, and I wanted her to almost to better accept that God has decided this was the way it was going to go. And I mean, and I mean, it's one of those that there was always this option. God had always said all along, you know, they have an option. They can change up until the very last sentence. Up to the very last second, they have a choice. And if they make the right choice and repent, you know, I'll forgive them and I'll withhold my judgment. But I got the sense that Ella didn't really ever want him to execute his judgment at all. And there was a part of me that bothered, because I hear so many people talking about how mean and cruel God is, and how he's judged, you know, how they go back to the Old Testament and talk about, you know, his cruelty in judging people. But I also sit back and say, I may not like it, but I have to agree with him because he's God, and I may not want that and it may hurt, but he's God, and no matter what, he knows what's right. I guess what I'm asking is, how did you feel about their relationship back and forth? Did you feel like that maybe she was accepting of his judgment a little bit more? I mean, what was your kind of feel for that?
I think that was part of her maturing process, and that continues throughout the series. It's another take on why would a loving God allow awful things to happen? And that cry is from those who don't want to believe in him or trust in him, because they're actually looking at what humans have done, and in the book I call them mortals, what mortals have done, what mortals have brought into the world. And the tendency, of course, is for mortals to blame God, their Creator, for things that have happened. And yet he, being absolutely perfect, being the essence of perfection, cannot say, okay, I know you're just, you know, rebellious and wicked and evil in your heart, but come on in anyway. Perfection cannot have part in evil. And Ella has to accept this. It's part of her journey. But that's back to the dialogue between kind of the Jeremiah tendencies between Ella and the infinite. And it was something. It's a fine line that my editors and I at Bethany House also were very aware of, and we're emailing back and forth, and oh, this is this and this is that, and why we should do this and move it over just a little more. A lot of adjusting. We've had a lot of dialogue about this very issue: God's love versus His need for mortals to understand what it means to have a relationship with Him, as far as His need for us to be justified in His sight, but His love overcoming our own fallen tendencies.
So basically, we're kind of at the first part of Ella's journey, and as it progresses, we'll probably see a little bit more. A gradual acceptance,
yeah,
that what God is doing is right, and maybe a little less of her begging Him to not do it.
That's the mortal tendency is, oh, please don't let this be so.
Right.
And that's part of her sympathy for those she's trying to meet. She, in a way, she wants to, I think, prolong their lives and have more time to reach them. And yet her Creator knows, because reading their hearts, He sees they've made their choice, and it's not going to change. And she needs to accept in situations where this occurs, she has to accept it. And that's tough. That's just really tough.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those that I totally got her point of view. Like, I understand, and with everything that's in us, sometimes we just want to say, this isn't fair, God, don't do it, stop.
Absolutely.
It, no, change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, I, like, God isn't the big bad guy just sitting there wanting to crush people.
No, he is calling us and saying, I love you, come with me. And our rebellious selves are just going, you know, get away.
Exactly. Now, one of the fun characters in this book, and I just love them, with Pet. Let's talk about Pet.
Pet was just a totally unexpected. It was one of those scenes where you start out and everything's okay, but she is complaining to God in that scene, I believe, and she turns around and there's this monster following her. And what do you do? What do you do? This is a monster and it's following you. And we have to, you just have to laugh. But Pet is a destroyer warhorse and sees the Creator's spirit in Ella. And so he's following her because destroyers worship power. They love power. And of course, what is the ultimate source of power but the Creator?
Right.
And so he's following Ella, whether she likes it or not. And Ella's little sister, oh, we have a pet. And that is the destroyer's name. And it was so unexpected. But the more I wrote about Pet, the more I loved him. And it was just, oh, I want a destroyer. I want. And that was my impulse. That was the kid in me going, yes, I want this. I want a horse like this. And I hope readers will respond. Actually, I have had a couple of them respond. I want a pet.
That's me. I grew up loving horses. I've never outgrown loving horses,
mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, that would be a really cool horse to have. I wonder if I can maybe go sign up and ask for one.
Yes, stand in line for one. Yes, I would be right there with you.
I thought that was great.
What's
next for you and for this series?
The next book in the series is Judge, and it's Kian's story. From the perspective of the idea in Judges was that every man is doing right in his own eyes, and Kian is also in Prophet, but this is Kian's journey as he's trying to work through his own issues, doing right in his own eyes versus what his creator's will is for him. So that's the significance. That's the theme, I believe, behind Judge.
Okay, cool. I liked him. He was a good guy. I liked him. Glad to get to follow him for a while. What's the last book in the series? Or is there three?
It is a trilogy. King. It is King, and it will follow the journey of a king who's also trying to do the will of the infinite and his own experience in learning to trust his creator.
Okay. And will that one be out early 2013?
Yes, a year from now.
Sorry. A year from now. Okay, and Judges comes out, is it September of this year?
November 1st, I believe.
November. Okay. Cool. Well, where can readers find out more about you and your book?
My website is rjlarsonbooks.com, of course. And I'm also on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter, Pinterest. I do a kind of share a blog online also. That would come up under RJ Larson as well.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much, RJ, for joining us today. I love talking about this book, and I hope that it reaches across all these different genres, and a lot of people get this book in their hands because it really was a fantastic novel. I really loved it, and I look forward to the next one coming out in November. Don't have that long to wait. Just a little while. All right, well, you have a great day.